There were also several piles of beer cans, almost big enough to qualify as archaeological middens. Nothing like relaxing on the back porch after a hard day at the store, Eddie thought. Roland was pointing his gun at another oil pump, this one rustier and older than the ones out front. On it was a single word. "Diesel," Roland said. "Does that mean fuel?" "It does, doesn't it?" "Yeah," Eddie said. "Chip, does the diesel pump work?" "Sure, sure," Chip said in a disinterested tone of voice. "Lots of guys fill up back here."
"I can run it, mister," said Flannel Shirt. "You better let me, too. It's tetchy. Can you and your buddy cover me?"
"Yes," Roland said. "Pour it in there," and jerked a thumb at the storeroom.
"Hey, no," Chip said, startled. How long did all these things take? Eddie could not have said, not for sure. All he was aware of was a clarity he had known only once before, while riddling Blaine the Mono. It overwhelmed everything with its brilliance, even the pain in his lower leg, where the tibia might or might not have been chipped by a bullet. He was aware of how funky it smelled back here, rotted meat and moldy produce, the yeasty scent of 1,000 departed brewskis, the odors of don't-care laziness, and the divinely sweet fir perfume of the woods just beyond the perimeter of this dirty little roadside store. He could hear the drone of a plane in some distant quadrant of the sky. He knew he loved Mr. Flannel Shirt because Mr. Flannel Shirt was here, was with them, linked to Roland and Eddie by the strongest of bonds for these few minutes. But time? No, he had no true sense of that. But it couldn't have been much more than 90 seconds since Roland had begun their retreat, or surely they would have been overwhelmed, crashed truck or no crashed truck. Roland pointed left, then turned right himself. He and Eddie stood back to back on the loading dock with about 6 feet between them, guns raised to their cheeks like men about to commence a duel. Mr. Flannel Shirt hopped off the end of the dock, spry as a cricket, and seized the chrome crank on the side of the old diesel pump. He began to spin it rapidly. The numbers in their little windows spun backward, but instead of returning to all zeros, they froze at 0019. Mr. Flannel Shirt tried the crank again. When it refused to turn, he shrugged and yanked the nozzle out of its rusty cradle. "John, no!" Chip cried. He was still standing in the doorway of his storeroom and holding up his hands, one clean and the other bloody all the way up the forearm. "Get out of the way, Chip, or you're gonna—" Two men dashed around Eddie's side of the East Stoneham General Store. Both were dressed in jeans and flannel shirts, but unlike Chip's shirt, these looked brand new, with the creases still in the sleeves. Purchased especially for the occasion, Eddie had no doubt. And one of the goons Eddie recognized quite well had last seen him in the Manhattan restaurant of the Mind, Calvin Towers Bookshop. Eddie had also killed this fellow once before, 10 years in the future, if you could believe it, in the Leaning Tower, Balazar's joint, and with the same gun he now held in his hand. A snatch of old Bob Dylan lyric occurred to him, something about the price you had to pay to keep from going through everything twice. "Hey, Big Nose," Eddie cried, as he seemed to each time he saw this particular piece of pond scum. "How you doing, pal?" In truth, George Biondi did not appear to be doing well at all. Not even his mother would have considered him much more than presentable, even on his best day, that humongous beak. And now his features were puffed and discolored by bruises that had only just begun to fade. The worst of them was right between the eyes. "I did that," Eddie thought, "in the back of Towers Bookstore." It was true, but it also seemed like something that had happened 1,000 years ago.
"You,"
said George Biondi. He seemed too stunned to even raise his gun.
"You, here."
"Me, here," Eddie agreed. "As for you, you should have stayed in New York." With that said, he blew George Biondi's face off. His friend's face, too. Flannel's shirt squeezed the pump handle's pistol grip and dark diesel sprayed from the nozzle. It doused Chip, who cawed indignantly and then staggered out onto the loading dock. "Stings!" he shouted. "Gorry, don't that sting! Quit it, John!" John did not. Another three men came dashing around Roland's side of the store, took one look at the gunslinger's calm and awful face, tried to backtrack.
They were dead before they could do more than get the heels of their new country walking shoes planted.